Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, of course, we built up to the racing. We were live in Cheltenham at the Lansdowne Pump to preview the festival. And Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly joined us. And we played Escalado, didn't we?
What a race it was.
Tremendous race. Yeah, we did that. What else did we do? Matt Scott.
Yeah.
Joined us, football analyst.
Yeah, or Arsenal fan.
Yes, oh, very much Arsenal fan, as you'll hear, evangelising about the Gunners and other matters. We had a bit of a chat, didn't we, about various...
Yeah, did a bit of racing, got in the mood.
Yeah, so, I think that should do you, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone, good afternoon. Mr. Faultless.
Basil Faultless, that's me.
You warm up. Friday at 5 to 4, you'll be sensational.
Sensational.
Right off the mark.
But people don't listen to me for my technical ability.
Well, people don't listen to you generally.
It's actually true.
Potter's Blue and White Army. You're going to start singing that, are
well,
you?
Well, no.
Turncoat.
Not really, no. Tremendous win, but we'll talk about that with Danny Kelly.
We will.
I've got the week's gambling off to a great start with a pound to win on Tokyo Sabuko in the 11-10 at Funabashi. Unplaced.
Oh, that's not a good
only
omen.
Only had a pound on him at 3-1.
Not a good omen. Why did you do that? Just to kind of get your hand in, like warm up.
See if my app was working.
Okay.
And you've had an attack of the Cheltenham deja vus on the way here.
There is an air of predictability about what we do after, I don't know, 12, 15 years of coming here, but I like it.
I like the comfort
of the predictability. We are playing Escalado again. Now, this is the popular horse raising game. Ask your kids.
Horse raising game.
Horse racing game. Yeah. And it's quite low tech, really. In a digital age, it's very analog. Hmm. It's basically cranking a plastic handle on a piece of canvas.
I think it's tremendous.
And the horses move along. If you go and check it out, if you've never seen it before, it's a fantastic game.
We have offered Cheltenham, if it gets blown off by the wind on Wednesday, that they can use this.
They can if they want to use
this. Seven races on Escalado.
So what we do, we have five horses, and they will go in the Escalado Stakes a little bit later on. We just need topical names. I'm sure our old mate Gary Lineker will almost certainly pop up in one. So just try and be inventive. Five things that are in the news at the moment, sporting or otherwise, that you think would make a very good name for a racehorse. And you'll get a name check. Or it could be the joy of seeing one of your horses run in the Escalado Stakes, one that you named, and possibly even winning it. So talksport.com/H&J, text to 8 to 1089 or tweet to TSH&J to send those in to us. We would like your horse names, please, for the Escalado Stakes that we'll be doing in the final hour. We'll read out some of the best ones and we'll choose our favourite five, maybe with Rupert Bell and the former jockey Lizzie Kelly a little bit later on.
We've got our excellent tech op, Simon here, who always does a great job.
Yeah.
He's not a big football fan because he said to me, what happened in the Chelsea ownership battle?
Yes.
Only about a year.
Is that long? It can't be a year.
No,
it
was about, it was June of last year, I think he got settled in the end.
Okay, well, he's not interested.
No, he likes yachting.
Oh, no, he does. He's not interested in football. He's still doing a fine job on the decks. He'll turn your volume down in a minute.
I didn't say he wasn't.
Now, a couple of things to get you going on this afternoon.
Yeah.
Andy was going through the papers. We're all going through the papers on the train on our way to Cheltenham this morning. Mm. And Andy said, there's a real shortage of baristas at the moment. I've always fancied doing that. Now, our producer, quite rightly said, knowing him as he does, I don't really see you, Andy, in some kind of customer-facing role. And I thought that was a really good point. Can you imagine Andy's coffee shop?
Why not?
It only takes someone to come in. Like, say Simon would come in and he'd say, oh, hello, Andy. Chelsea stunk the place out on Saturday. So the number of baristas would go up, but so would the number of scaldings. But just Andy throwing coffee over people. He's right. I cannot think of anybody. You had a clothes shop, didn't you?
I did.
You were customer-facing.
I was.
More tolerant person.
I was more nervous in those days. I'm so worried about the accounts.
Oh, right, okay.
But it was tough.
They were tough days. I sort of just triggered him. I thought his whole bottom lip was going then. So
I took you right back. Broadcasting.
Took you right back to that day when you didn't sell one thing.
Oh, that was terrible.
No one came in the shop and you didn't sell one thing.
No.
Now, the reason I bring this up is...
I went out for lunch and I left the door of the shop open.
Just on the off chance that someone might come in and nick something.
Well, there was one... The local thief was the bloke inside the shop. He said, it's all right, I've been looking after the shop. He's well known, this bloke, for shoplifting.
You used to leave the local shoplifter in charge of your shop.
Well, not on a regular basis, just on this one.
Sounds like an insurance number, that
does. It wasn't great.
You didn't have a fire at the end of it, did you?
Not really. Dear me.
Anyway, look, I bring this up because there may have been a moment in your life when you realised, or someone you know, realised they weren't really customer-facing. What was the moment you realised, I think, Andy serving punters would not be a great idea.
Piece in the Sunday papers yesterday about baristas. There's a shortage of baristas.
Right.
So I was thinking, well, you know, and it's quite good money. So I was thinking I possibly could retrain after that opening. I might need to.
Yeah.
Wasn't great, was it?
That's very true. Anyway, let us know this afternoon. Yeah. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH&J. Something we might discuss with Danny Kelly very shortly. Have you seen the Arsenal players after the comfortable win against Fulham the other day posing with a clock? It's a replica, a small replica of the clock at the clock end, of course.
Yeah.
Hybrid,
of course, yeah.
The new place. So but there is a... Matt Scott's here, a big Arsenal fan later on. He'll talk about the significance of whites at sort of 11 minutes to 2, etc., etc. But that's someone's job from now on. It's a good luck charm, isn't it? So it's someone's job. I don't know if the kit man has to now do the clock as well.
Because
if they go to City... No, I just carry it. Take it with us. You've got everything. Oh, got all the kit, got all the boots, got all this, got all that. You got the clock.
They're
going
to win anyway. They don't need the lucky clock.
I think suddenly that's a big responsibility. The kit man, I would imagine, is going to be in charge of the lucky clock. So... we'd like to know what you were left in charge. The unlikely things and unusual things you were left in charge of and maybe messed up. There'd probably be more in it if you made a complete pig's ear of it. So how did you end up being responsible for that item? Let us know. Talksport.com, text 1889, tweet TSH&J. In the first hour, Danny Kelly will be joining us. A deep dive into the Premier League weekend. All games covered. We'll look at each game in turn. We do need your nominations for who should be in the barrel, as always. You can nominate them throughout the show.
Tim Davey.
Well, apart from him. I mean, look, he had a big part of the football this weekend, maybe you can nominate him to be in the barrel. But who are your nominations then to take the, you know, the old joke? Yep, but Wednesday, it's your turn in the barrel. Can't start the joke, unfortunately. You need to know it to understand. But everybody takes their turn in the barrel in the world of football. But whose turn is it this time?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We are talking racing now because we've been joined by the people that will bring a new commentary Tuesday to Friday from the Cheltenham Festival. Yeah. Rupert Bell, of course, and the former jockey, Lizzie Kelly. Good to see you both.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes. Nice to join you on your banquette.
Yes, you like a nice little banquette, isn't it? Yes. You're getting excited, Lizzie.
Yeah, I am. You get through all the build-up, and the build-up is massive, and you're filming, and you're talking, and you're doing preview nights. As of this evening at hopefully about 10 o'clock, the last preview night will have been done and we can actually get on with the racing. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
So you're not looking forward to coming to... You're too tired to come to my pub tonight to be... Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that finally the build-up will be over and we will be getting on with the actual racing.
The Ebrington Arms audience and absolutely fired up, ready to see
Don't
you
take
on your every word. Because we like your tips, but I suffer from Cheltenham FOMO because there's Paddy Ruby, Lizzie Rupert, Paul Jacobs, Andy Smart, Polly Prescott, and Bruce Millington. can't put all of their tips.
All of those people are giving you tips. I mean, you must do this, Rupert and Liz. You must kind of decide who you think is going to win a race and then talk yourself out of it all the time by the time the actual race comes along.
Yeah, and I do plenty of research as well. And part of that is listening to these people about their sort of opinions. And actually, by the time you get to tomorrow, you could probably back all of them because everyone's given different tips.
Well,
so
I'm very flattered to be included in that list.
Well, yes.
That's one less name.
Yeah, that's one less. Yeah,
I think, Rupert, it's worth just pointing out for people that don't really know what makes Cheltenham special. I mean, not just as an event, but in terms of the quality of the racing. It's like all the great horses coming together, isn't it, over 4 days?
You just want the best of your sport, having something that just feels unique, compelling, and brings everything together after a long season. And that's what it's all about. And the Irish coming over with this huge number of horses, probably the biggest ever Irish challenge at the festival. Good thing now we've got a couple of French horses likely to come on the in the stairs hurdle. So there's an added dimension. But it's also people were like, you know, almost FOMO, going to a sports event. You like, even if you're not quite a racing fan, it's going to that event because you experience the real passion of so many of the sports fans. And I've been coming here since the 60s, and I'm still just as excited.
Yeah, I think an important point is it's the first time that you've seen the Irish and the British horses clash. And so you're trying to, you get the spectacle of being able to see the best of the two areas come together, and then you sort of get the crowning of actually the best one, the best horse. So that's also a big element as well.
What about as a jockey then, Lizzie? Does it feel different, this meeting, when you ride at Cheltenham over this week?
Yeah, it really does. And it probably shouldn't, but it is totally different. And I think as you progress through your career, it goes from, you know, being delighted to have a ride to the point where you want to have a better ride, and then maybe winners, and then, you know, quality of winners improve as well with graded races versus handicaps. So there's always, it is different. The weighing room is probably quite quiet. There's a heightened sense of tension throughout the week. It's not sort of, you know, jolly hockey sticks and we're all having a lovely time. You know, you really do get the sense of this is business here, and this is the best sort of opportunity for anyone to really sort of write their name in history books.
Our producer John now has Irish citizenship. So
yeah, it's the first Cheltenham he's got with his Irish citizenship.
He's right behind Ireland in the Prestbury Cup.
Oh, such a natural sounding Irishman John is, isn't he?
Well, you know,
he's got a foot in both camps, so whoever wins, he can't really lose, I don't think, in terms of nationality.
That's a good position to be in.
We were having quite an interesting chat about what is undoubtedly going to be the most controversial thing of the week, which is the new whip rules. And for so many reasons that I hadn't even realised, we should talk about it, because, you know, people are going to be winning races and then, according to you, Rupert, a week later they might not have won.
Well, it's already happened on a couple of occasions. The new rules are, and it was something that jockeys agreed to, was that there are basically seven, you can use the whip seven times, and it's also how you use it has also been modified to make sure, so that, and also the jockeys know, right, you've got to give a horse a time to respond. But the thing is, and this is where it could turn into racing's VAR, they won't make a decision there and then to disqualify a horse. That will happen a week later. So you could have the situation that the Gold Cup winner, the jockey on that goal, has hit the horse maybe 11 times, he will get disqualified. But it won't happen until the following Tuesday. But the presentations and everything will go on. And I think Lizzie also thinks that this is a very poor way to do it. From a PR point of view, if you find the Gold Cup winner being disqualified a week later, ooh, ouch.
What about punters and bookies, though? Where does that leave them?
If you've got it back cash from a bookies, they're not going to chase you down the street.
No, but you're going to get paid out.
Yeah,
on that winner.
But if a week later your horse does win because of that, will you be paid out on that? No.
Which is a sticking point for me.
That's a bit tricky, isn't it?
That is. And partly the reason of bringing it in, aside from perception, etc., was that they wanted to level the playing field. You know, it's not fair to have one jockey sticking in the rules and one not, and the one who hasn't then wins the race. That's part of the reason that they brought it in. But if I had backed the second horse and the first horse was then disqualified, I would be wondering, you know, well, where's my money then?
Are the jockeys, you've been talking to the jockeys, Lizzie, are they really concerned about this?
I think a lot of it comes from the timing of this, you know, to have brought these new whip rules in. I don't think, a lot of jockeys don't have a problem with the whip rules, you know, they're perfectly happy to stick within the rules.
Yeah.
The bans are probably a little bit more extreme than they were hoping for. Their main concern is that it's the wrong time of year to be doing this. Like, it's like changing a big rule before you go into a World Cup in football or Six Nations or whatever. This is the highlight of the national hunt year, and they've changed the whip rules going into not only Cheltenham but Aintree and then Punchestown in Ireland. And that is their main concern.
And the other thing is the Irish jockeys have a different set of rules. So they've now got to come over here and actually adhere to the BHA's jurisdiction. And I do know, and we're talking about it, that they have been educated, they've had people trying to tell them and explain what's going on. But of course, for the Irish, they're riding under a different set of rules. So this is why it's going to be a very complicated area. And for the, I think it could have a bit of a damaging effect on it, because you want things, what you want to see, if there's something happened wrong there, then, and you see it, then you should be disqualified there and
then.
Deal
with it.
Deal with it then.
Absolutely.
Not later.
Crikey, they managed to, you know, with Formula One, they managed to sort out problems that have happened on the track as the race is happening. I really don't think it's too much to ask that you have this panel of people on the stick regulation board that are actually at Cheltenham for the week in a room sorting it out immediately.
Yeah. And there's no jockeys on that panel, which I thought was quite interesting. It smacks a bit of VAR, but anyway,
that's what it is. I think
we're going to talk racing properly tomorrow. Look at all the races. They have a quick one on the Champion Hurdle. All the talk is about Constitution Hill. Are you, either of you, prepared to oppose Constitution Hill in the big race, feature race tomorrow?
No, I'm not. No, I am.
Which one of your many punters told you? What are you opposing it?
State.
Okay. No. No, you're not getting anywhere. No.
I just think this horse, I want this horse to prove just how good he is on the biggest stage of them all.
Mm. Yeah. Brilliant. I think everyone's got a little bit to find to beat him. I think that there would have to be some sort of, he'd have to run very much below par.
There's always a few shocks.
Actually, the other thing about seeing this horse jump the hurdles, it's exhilarating. It's just like poetry in motion. So if you can get a chance to see this horse in full flight, is just a pure joy to watch in action.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly are our commentary team. They are here with us now, and we're going to bring you the Escalado Stakes, the popular vintage horse racing game. Involving a crank handle and five horses and a bit of canvas. Rupert Bell is your commentator. Lizzie Kelly, slightly reluctantly, is your co-commentator, thinking this is career killer from her point of view.
What's the going like, Lizzie?
I'm hard to... Wood.
Thank you very much for that. So, Rupert Bell, I believe you have the runners and riders there. Yes.
Well, at last minute notice, preparation planning, I haven't looked at the form, but we've got, wearing the green colours, we got Match of the Nay. See what we've done there.
Yes.
We've got 10 men, but Matt Scott came up with a theory and I couldn't quite work out what was going, but it had something to do with Casemira.
It's 10 men for Denman and it's 10 men.
They're always down to 10 men.
Yes, right. That's right, Manchester United.
And obviously Gary Gate is wearing the orange. We've got Bumbling Jacobs in the blue.
Yes.
And then we got Brazil's Gone Missing. And after his performance this morning, I think 5 days looks a completely non-starter.
No chance.
So Brazil's Gone Missing is wearing the yellow, but normally he should be in the red looking at his face this morning. But anyway, there we go.
You're the official starter. John, our resident Irishman, he's on the handle.
Yes.
He'll be cranking. It is being filmed. Being filmed from all angles.
And we actually have an effects mic as well. Really close. So we're going to hear a lot of cranking going on.
So you can get the race underway, Rupert.
Right. Well, ready for the big Cheltenham roar here in the Lansdowne. The crowd is just enormous. So ready. Starter's got his flag up. Get cranking. And we're off and running. And it's a pretty level break. And no one is taking up Brazil. Match of the Nay may just have it on the far side. Denman is just ahead by ahead. Then also moving now is Bumbling Jacobs. Brazil's Gone Missing isn't really showing anything dramatic. Oh, but tell you what, we're going to have a steward's inquiry here because Denman's gone all over the place. But now Bumbling Jacobs has taken the lead, but he's trying to lean into Brazil's Gone Missing. And Bumbling Jacobs won it, I think. Oh, it's a short head because on the angle, Denman was on the angle, but I'm going to have to give it to Bumbling Jacobs. But I think we may have to have a steward's inquiry, Lizzie, because I think we need to go to the steward's room because of the angle that we see that Bumbling Jacobs has come to the final stages of the race.
Is that interference, Lizzie? If that happened to you in a race, what would you be going straight to the stewards?
Yeah, no, I'd be straight to the stewards. I'd be in there, I'd be dragging him in by the scruff of his neck. You tell him what you did. That's what I'd be saying.
So do we give it to Bumbling Jacobs or do we have to wait a week to make the decision?
Oh, no, we need a good week to figure this one out. Don't we? Good week.
Well, at the moment, unofficially, Bumbling Jacobs has managed to get something right here and is the winner.
Not bad.
That's a good omen. Well done to Ian Stewart. He suggested Bumbling Jacobs. So there we are. That's the Escalado Stakes. All the fun of horse racing.
Oh, everybody
without
in the pub
the
came around the corner.
They did, look, they were all there.
Like Bill Werbenick.
It was. Fantastic. So there we are. Thank you, Rupert. Thank you, Lizzie. And... You can get off and do your thing. Prepare for tonight.
The Ebrington Arms pub upgoers are really excited.
Yes.
Because they've got Lizzie with all her tips. I don't have to say anything but just ask her a few questions.
You can borrow the Escalado if you want for a bit of a laugh.
Well, it'd probably be more interesting than what we're saying tonight anyway.
There's not many runners in the Champion Hill. You could probably do it on. There's only six, isn't it? You need one extra horse, don't you?
One extra horse, good to
go.
Well, not so sleepy as the 151 outside of
Oh, okay. We can run it without that one.
Just forget about him. Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Happy
Rupert Bell and Lizzie Kelly will be your commentary team live from Cheltenham tomorrow. So we'll have four races for you. Everything. And don't forget, as long as he's not a non-runner, the omens aren't good, according to Rupert. But Big Alan, of course, will be live from the course throughout the week, bringing you all the build-up to racing. And you always know the day afterwards when he's had a loser. How did he let that happen? How did that happen? I can't believe it.
You can always tell.
Part of the joy, isn't it? Really.
Very much.
Or when he's had
a
big win, you just all this and it.
Oh, yeah.
You can hear all of that going on.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us here at the Lansdowne in Cheltenham. Matt has often joined us for a bit of racing over the years. He's local, isn't he?
He is.
He's part of the world. It's always good to see him. He often is. Around this time when we do, he's a huge Arsenal fan, which makes it incredibly painful for me and Andy. But basically everything he said about Arteta has come true. Keep the faith and you shall be rewarded. Matt Scott, football analyst, journalist, joins us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, both. How are you?
Good. Mm. Yeah, look, there is absolutely no denying that so much of what you said
absolutely
has come true. So we doff our caps to you on that front. In preparation for our chat today, I know you've floated a few areas we could discuss. One of them was there was a feeling that Arsenal would come back, or we'd come back after the World Cup and they wouldn't be able to pick it up again. I mean, there was always a risk of that, but you never felt that was the case.
Well, actually, no, quite the contrary. I think that has been the problem. Mm. You know, before the World Cup, Arsenal were absolutely blazing. They had 14 games, 12 wins, one draw, one defeat, 33 goals scored and 11 against. So three times as many goals scored as conceded, 37 points, which was a pace of 100 points per season across, you know, if you actually stretch that out across the entire season, 2.63 points per game. But after the World Cup, things have relatively collapsed. I mean, you know, a collapse as such it is, as you can be when you're top of the league. But you know, after the World Cup, they've had 12 games. This is before the Fulham win the other week, yesterday. 12 games, 8 wins, 2 draws, 2 defeats, 26 goals scored and 11 again conceded. So that's a drop-off of almost 20% in the number of points that they've returned, 26 versus 37. They remain 5 points clear of City as they were before the World Cup, but that's because City are also 2.17 points per game over this period. But, you know, it begs the question, why? Why have we seen two Arsenals? Hmm. Why was one of them flying before the World Cup and not anymore? Well, a big part of it is that they're conceding more goals per game. 0.79 before the World Cup, now 1.09. So if you're guaranteed to concede a goal in every game, that's a big problem. But what's even more important is when those goals are being conceded. Before the World Cup, across the first quarter of every game, Arsenal scored cumulatively 9 goals and didn't concede a single one. And that's a heck of a platform to be building in the first 22 minutes. Since the World Cup, they've scored 4 and conceded 4 in the first quarter of the games. And that's a big issue because, you know, what you're doing then is not having teams roll over, sit back and try to limit the damage. They think they've got a chance and they're coming at you. And a big reason why this has happened, I think, believe it or not, is because Gabriel Jesus suffered that World Cup injury.
Yeah.
Arsenal have missed his pressing. More importantly, they've missed his goals, five from those 14 games. Also, his hold-up play, 5 assists from those 14 games as well. And all these data have come from Canon Stats and Scott J. Willis on Twitter. But there are other stats that tell this story as well. Before the World Cup, Arsenal were conceding 1.2 big chances a game. And since 2.1. So that tells you that Arsenal are actually potentially chasing the game and other teams are hitting them on the break. Now, Jesus played his first minutes against Fulham the other day, yesterday, and having him back is absolutely going to be huge, I think. Because, you know,
it's going to take him a while to play himself.
I don't care what Scott J. Willis says, that Arsenal are going to win the title.
Do you think?
Well, oh, absolutely.
I think now with him back, that's a massive boost.
What worries you, Matt, when you sit there and you might wake up in the night and think, but yeah, that could go wrong? Because I know, you know, you've got a balanced view of it. I mean, where do you think they could be derailed? Whether the numbers tell you that or just your gut feeling watching the team?
Well, fixtures. They've still got to play Liverpool. They've still got to play Manchester City away. You know, that's a big, big game. Mm. And if Arsenal, you know, slip up in those two games and City turn into a juggernaut, which they've been threatening to do, but actually they've been flattering to deceive over the course of the last few games. I think that they've made real heavy weather of their wins. I think, you know, that's going to be a big difference. But then, you know, this what has been so fabulous about this season for Arsenal is how they've invested in the summer to win a title. Sorry, in January, to win a title. You know, not mucking about. Going out and buying Jorginho, who I know Andy has his opinion about, but I think is a world-class player. I genuinely do. He's you know, as a holding midfielder, he was the best available on the market, and Arsenal brought him in very cheaply, relatively. And they've gone out there and they've brought in Trossard as well. And actually, I think that, you know, Chelsea spending the GDP of a small nation on Mudryk has done Arsenal a big, big favour because he is absolutely sensational and a complete steal at £27 million, Trossard. He's got made history yesterday with 3 first half assists in an away game. No Premier League player's ever done that before. That's helped him get into the top 12% of assist makers, according to fbref.com. He's also an outstanding dribbler. He's in the top 2% of players across Europe to the top 5 leagues for dribbles that lead to goals. Although, interestingly, of course, those 3 assists came from crosses yesterday. But he's not just a creator. He's in the top 20% for tackles in the final third. But important as all of that is his finishing, and according to WhoScored.com, he's the fourth best player in the league for converting big chances, and he's put away 70%, 7 out of 10 this season that he's had. That's matched by Gabriel Martinelli, who's also 7 out of 10. And the person who's most clinical in this league, you say, it would always say, of course, Erling Haaland, you know, the number of goals he has. It isn't actually, it's Bukayo Saka. So you've got three players there who are absolutely ruthless if you put the ball on the plate for them.
But you wouldn't have gone for him. Obviously, if he'd got Mudrick, no, you wouldn't have gone for him. I mean, I'm sure he was on the radar, but it was kind of circumstances. It, you look, you know, everything absolutely that went on with Brighton and that, it was just a happy accident from Arsenal's point of view, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mudrick will still be doing it for Chelsea when Trossard is retired. There's a big difference in the...
No, what have you made of Mudrick so far? You haven't seen a lot of him.
He played well on Saturday.
Yeah.
He's got to adjust to this league.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, totally. He's very soon.
That's the other
quick
thing with Trossard. You've got no period of adaptation.
Yeah. Same with Jorginho.
Slot in. Absolutely.
But I do think it's played for Arsenal this season. They are the best team. That's indisputable. But City preoccupied with Europe. Liverpool being hopeless. Chelsea in transition deluxe. Spurs, Conte disarray. Newcastle haven't got a strong enough squad yet. You know, so it kind of, you know, it's not surprising that Arsenal are the best team because they are. With all that going on, it's a great season for them to win it.
Damned with faint praise there. I mean, honestly, it's the Premier League,
that's
Andy.
That's true.
This is a season
let's
in which
next,
more teams
let's
spend,
see when
spend more money than anywhere
next
else.
Season,
yeah,
Chelsea
I'd love
back.
It, is what he's saying. Now, this one of your theories that we want to discuss is where this would rank if Arsenal do it. And you argue that this would be a greater achievement than 5,000-1 Leicester winning it.
Well, managerially, yes. Yes, I honestly really do think so. I think it would be that good. And you know, this is the counterpoint to what Andy's just done in diminishing what Arsenal happened to be on the top of the...
It's a good grief. It's a fact, though, isn't it?
Good grief. Well, we'll find out what the facts are right now, Andy. I mean, I think in terms of managerial achievement, this will be the greatest since Brian Clough led Forest from the second division to the top division title and then the European Cup in successive seasons. I really do think it would be that good because, first things first, you know, Ranieri... He lucked out with that dressing room. Yeah, the leadership came from the players, the likes of Jamie Vardy, Wes Morgan, big characters in that dressing room, experienced players. Then that is not the case at Arsenal. The leadership is deriving from the dugout. You've got the second youngest squad in the entire league, the youngest manager, and yet they've been setting the pace all season. I mean, everyone says what a miracle it was, you know, that 5,000-1. Because when Leicester won it, because they were nearly relegated the previous season. Well, that's just not true. They finished 14th. You know, similarly, Arsenal started last season. Leicester had a bad start, but they finished well. Mm. Arsenal last season started, let's not forget, with three consecutive defeats, didn't score a single goal, conceded 9. So, you know, they were in utter disarray. Let's not forget that. That's the context. People also say that Leicester had been in the Championship 2 seasons before, but plenty of this Arsenal team were not, you know, established top-flight players 2 years ago either. This is a scratch team. Only three players have been first choice for this side for 2 seasons and more. Granit Xhaka, Thomas Partey and Bukayo Saka, who's still only 21. Let's look at them man for man. Ramsdale, he went down twice with Bournemouth and with Sheffield United. Ben White, 2 years ago, he was playing as a centre-back at 16th place Brighton. The season before that, he was a lot of the time in central midfield.
He's a £50 million player, though. I mean, he was a £50 million purchase, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. But that's because it's Brighton and we know how hard they work. You know, they work the transfer market really hard. Now
He's a bit flaky, Ramsdale, though, isn't he?
Ramsdale?
Yeah. Flaky, don't you think he's a bit flaky? He's a bit got of a touch of that.
I wouldn't have said this season.
I think he gets away with a few, didn't he? He got away with one yesterday as well, didn't he?
No, it was a really good save yesterday, I thought. He's no Hugo Lloris who gets caught in possession in 6-yard box, is he?
Don't have a go at me. I'm not having
a go. I'm sorry. I didn't have
according
to
Scott, I've got another. Scott J. Willis. Is it Arteta the most irritating person in football?
No, that's me. That's definitely me. But William Saliba, you know, we look at him as well. I don't know. I think Ben White cost that money because Arsenal were desperate for him and they didn't want to sell him. But he's never played right back before, so he's been transformed. William Saliba, 3 seasons on loan in Ligue 1. 2 seasons before this, he was a half-used player at a mid-table side at Nice. Gabriel Magalhães, signed from Lille in 2020, played 23 games the previous season, 11 the season before. You know, these aren't established players. Alexander Zinchenko, he was only a bit part player at Manchester City, never even started.
That was a great bit of business. Zinchenko, you'd look back and if they do win it and say that was probably the key signing.
Well, I think Odegaard. You know, seven seasons at Real Madrid, three starts in La Liga for them. He was an absolute nomad at Heerenveen, Vitesse, Real Sociedad. You know, now he's in the first season at Arsenal. He's captain of the team and arguably, for me, the best midfielder in Europe right now. Thomas Partey's world-class, but injury-prone, certainly. Yeah. He's had a lot of those. Granit Xhaka, even. You know, he's established in the team.
He's tidied his game up, hasn't he? Christian Romero's got to learn from Granit Xhaka. And look at what happens when you... When you're a good player, just be a good player. Don't let other stuff get in the way.
Well, there's a question for you. Is it for Romero to fix himself, or is it for the manager to fix him? Because what happened with
the manager's
Xhaka,
effectively checked out, so it would be for the next manager to sort him out.
But what's happened with Xhaka is he's been pushed further away from the danger zone, so he's been playing in an advanced midfield role. Yeah. So he isn't that erratic player that he was as a deep lying playmaker. He's now, you know, he's away from the danger zone. We look at Bukayo Saka, you know, a high-end product from the academy. He's the highest-rated player in his position in all of Europe, according to Who Scored. He's still only 21, as I say. Gabriel Jesus, he's been missing for half a season. You take a centre-forward out of any title-hopeful team.
We haven't even got a centre-forward. What are you worried about? You're the whole season without a centre-forward.
You play a false nine, don't you?
Yeah.
Several of them.
Exactly.
Gabriel Martinelli's the top scorer at Arsenal. He only was £6 million from a little-known team in Brazil, where he only played 17 times there.
I mean, what comes out of this is Edu has been very important to this whole process.
Absolutely
as well,
right,
in terms of recruitment and everything. Now, I'd like to point out, there's no way me or Andy would ever let anybody else do what you've done for the last... It's only because you're a mate. I'm surprised Andy hasn't thrown his drink in your face.
No, it's fine. All I'm thinking is, how funny will this be if they don't win it? Yeah. Just be so marvellous. Yeah. Please.
When you think about, you know, the recruitment Arsenal have done, these have not been established players.
Yeah.
You know, you see that with Manchester City, they've gone out and they've bought a 35-year-old proven ice giant from the Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Arsenal are slinging together Jossie's giants. You know, he's come out there and these players have been playing the best football in the land. I think if they win this title this season, it will be unprecedented.
Jeff Peters does not agree with you, big Leicester
fan.
Yeah, the Leicester. It's an interesting premise.
7 points from safety with 9 games to go the season before they won the league.
Finished 14th.
Won the Premier League 2 years after being in the second tier. There you go.
Well, some people go, has he not been listening? The load of the Arsenal players.
Well, he tends not to listen. All he heard was, you don't like Leicester.
No, look, Leicester was incredible, but it wasn't down to the manager. And what this manager has done at Arsenal is I think, unprecedented in the Premier League.
I can't wait till he gets the City job. Oh,
behave. He's at home,
that'd be
mate.
Fantastic, wouldn't it?
He's at home.
Matt, it's lovely to see you.
Likewise, please.
And we will catch up with you at the end of the season.
Cool,
possibly.
So.
I'm off that day.
Yeah.
It's going to be using a horsing analogy, it's going to be Devon Locke. Then you two are on the phone straight away.
Lovely to see you, Matt.
Thanks
all
for having
the best.
See you. Thanks,
yes, football analyst, Arsenal fan, you may have gathered
the
subtext there. You may have just picked it out through. But interesting stuff. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, I've got news for you.
The
Jockey Club came down. They've seen my stomach. I've been done for excessive use of the walnut whip.
Hey, beautiful.
Thank you very
much. That's very nice. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're going to get a ride this week. I can't see you.
We were having... There was a... in the Star pullout today, the racing pullout, this reminded me of something that used to happen when we looked at greyhounds. This is a competition. You've got to guess who. Name these festival winners.
Yeah.
Let's just pick... A horse got with...
But someone like Paul Jacobs, if he sat down and looked at that, he could name every one of them.
If I can't.
Yeah, I know. You certainly can't.
They all look the same, the horses.
Well, some are grey and some aren't.
So it's like the same with the dogs. They used to put a picture of a greyhound and say, like, this one won yesterday. Think, how do you know? They all look the same.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Well,
you're not steeped in it, are you?
No, I'm not really. But, yeah. No, I mean, probably from the jockey. If you took away the jockey's colours, then it would be harder, wouldn't it?
Well, you put those... I mean, don't they give you the names of who they are? Or
answers on the back page.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Look, we'll put them to Paul Jacobs. Honestly, you'll know the lot.
It won't be
a problem. As you were saying earlier on, Andy, you listen to too many tipsters. Maybe you need to sort of narrow down your pool of people that you listen to.
Probably.
And also, it's not just that, because you'll walk up to the tote and the bloke in front of you... put a couple of quid on, and you'll go, oh. And so you get on that one as well. But, and this bloke might be an idiot. But
I've got an app. I didn't use Tote last year. I've got an app like everybody else.
You can't, you're using the tech, are you? I
mean, well, it's easier, really.
That sounds like a mistake.
Probably.
Okay. Anything else you want to discuss?
Well, we've started look-alike cricket.
What a game. Yeah, what a start for the producer. A massive six.
Did you put that one out there? He will do.
Yeah. Honestly, because while we're here, we do play a bit of lookalike cricket. Yeah. And the way it works is this. If you see a real banging lookalike, you're going to get six runs for it. Four for a very good one.
Only counts if you get their photo, though. It's no good because otherwise you can't prove it. You
know? No, I'll be honest. I'm not quite as bold as you.
He took the photo of Prue Leaf.
On my recent holiday, we found four Harold Bishops. All at various stages of him in Neighbours. Pre and post match. But I just didn't get in that situation to take all the pictures. Our producer, John, who'll put out that picture. It's a very good Prue Leaf. It's a solid, I think. To kick off with six runs is
tremendous.
Is fantastic. Yeah, Josh Butler would have been proud.
Less good Louis Walsh, a young Phil Collins and Mark Lamar in the pub here in
We will never ever beat on the train down to Cheltenham a few years ago when we were playing lookalike cricket, and you went, I want six runs for Lawrence Llewellyn Bowie, and it was actually Lawrence Llewellyn Bowie. You don't get six runs for the real person. You get disqualified. You're out basically if it happens to be the real person.
He always looks like he's wearing a sofa, like his suit's made out of some sort of material that you use.
Yes.
Do your thing.
Anything else?
No, I think that's it, really. We had the Paddington roar when the train left Paddington.
Yeah, we all roared. It got a bit of a funny look. We saw that rare thing, didn't we, as well? Two balls on pitch the other day. I saw Mark Housie. It's a real you are the ref thing, that. When Nonto took the corner that led, I think, to the equaliser, a second ball was... This is the trouble with multi-ball. I've seen it a few times.
Yeah, but it wasn't interfering.
No, it has to make... rule is, according to Mark, I saw his piece, it has to make a material difference to what's going on. And that's another witless thing that happens now. The ball goes into the crowd, and then the play starts again, and often the away fans then lob the ball back on the pitch.
Then it becomes annoying, doesn't it? It does. I got stuck in the loo here at the pub after the sign said, use elbow to open door. Have you seen that?
Really?
How are you going to do that?
Well, they live in Manchester, though, most of the band. Yeah. I mean...
Stuck in the loo.
Get yourself down to Cheltenham because I can't get out of the loo.
It's been 5 days.
Look, he's a lovely bloke. He'd probably do it for you. But I mean, I think that would be above and beyond, wouldn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. If you always enjoy listening back to our chat with Danny Kelly as we look back over the Premier League weekend, you can listen again at the TalkSport app. If you go along there, you can listen again to all the shows. And that would have been 15 minutes in till around, about 45 minutes in if you want to listen back. So, we're live from Cheltenham tomorrow, all the colour, live racing. So, do hope you can join us then from 1. If not, the podcast will be available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.